accomplished for the day. Okay, number 291, will you please stand? My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would gather together this morning, Lord, to come out of the world and forget our busy lives for a short time, I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would be here in strength and power to bless our meeting. Father, I pray for Ken as he would stand before us, that You would fill him with Your Spirit and give him the liberty of thought and words to be able to communicate the message that You'd have for us today. I pray, Father, for us as hearers, and that we might be attentive, might be able to come to a greater understanding and to be encouraged and strengthened, to be edified by Your servant. We might take something away that would be useful in our life. Father, I pray that You'd bless Your church in all its parts. Father, I pray for Your people, that You would humble us and chastise us, Lord, whatever it might take, that we might be willing to be Thy people. Cleanse us, Lord, I pray. I ask that You'd bless our missionaries, that You'd watch over and protect them and prepare the way before them, that You'd bless our loved ones in foreign lands and the work in the different places, Lord, knowing that it is Your work. I pray, Father, for the wisdom and the strength to know how fast to run and not to be too slow or too fast. Father, I pray for our many who are sick and afflicted physically and spiritually. That You bless those who are struggling with sins in their life and help them to overcome them. I pray, Father, that You would bless our young people with their great decisions before them about careers and companions, that You would open their understandings and make Your will known unto them. Father, I am truly humbled by Your goodness to us. Our unworthiness before Thee, I know that You have richly blessed us. The opportunity we have to worship in this local, in this land. I pray these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to continue this morning with number 299. Shall we again stand? I would now ask that you'd give our brother Ken your careful and your prayerful attention.
Thank you, Bob. I hope that you listened to Bob's prayer this morning. It was a sermon. Probably mine. Also, when we sang the opening songs, they were my sermon today. So God works in his way. And Bob's prayer. He mentioned about being humble and seeking God's will. He prayed for our young people. Their decisions. And he also mentioned how unworthy we are. In the second song that we sang, I'm going to refer to it later, it was about being ashamed. But us being ashamed of Christ, and then at the judgment day, the Lord perhaps being ashamed of us. In several sermons recently, at the Idaho reunion, there's been a lot of sermons, a lot of even testimonies about this being a time of sacrifice, a time to be prepared, time to be ready. In fact, it was mentioned at the Idaho reunion, and this is the day of sacrifice. And the whole theme of the reunion and Sunday morning was around that, perhaps. Many comments made, especially at the Sunday service, about that aspect. My sermon is not about sacrifice, but more about being ready. Being ready to serve, being ready to hear the Word of God, and about having our lives and our hearts and our minds in order before God that He can speak, that He can speak to us. I think it's very timely, Gordon's study on fasting and prayer. How important it is that we are ready to hear God. The part of our purpose of fasting is to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive God's Word. I'm going to use this as a text this morning. Mark chapter 8. Mark the 8th chapter, I'm going to read 34 through 38, and then we'll look at these verses for a few moments. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. To deny, to refrain from satisfying one's desires or needs. To practice self-denial. Example in the scripture is that rich young man. And he had great riches, which was what he needed to give up. But that whole parable is symbolic, not necessarily of money, it's symbolic of being willing to give up whatever is important in our life that would hinder our service to God. Whatever it is, to be able and willing to give it up for our service to God. Whether it's a possession, a want, a desire, a human desire that's not of God. We must be willing to deny ourselves. Really have to take the S out of our life. That's self. We have to take self out of our life. Willing to give up what we want. What we may desire. To give up our personal pleasures perhaps. Our personal wants. Our personal things that we want to accomplish. For the good of the gospel. We must deny sin a place in our lives. Overcome the temptations that we may have. to give Satan no place within our hearts and our minds. We're all tempted. We all have weaknesses of the flesh. We all have things that would draw us away, and Satan knows those weaknesses. He knows what will work on me. He knows what will work on each individual. For it's different. It's different for each of us. No two of us have exactly the same weaknesses, exactly the same temptations, exactly the same things that Satan could use to draw us away. But whatever it is, we have to have that resolve to take it out of our life. To give Satan no place. To whisper in our ear. To enter our hearts. To lead us away. To tempt us. Sometimes it's as simple as walking away. Other times it takes a greater effort. It takes, like our brother has been pointing out, fasting and prayer to strengthen our hearts, to open our understanding, to give us the will. You know, and sometimes Brother Joel, I remember one time he preached a sermon on prayer. Is that the end? You know, sometimes we use prayer in the wrong way. We pray to overcome a temptation. We pray to overcome something in our lives that could hinder our service, and we leave it at that. Where the Lord requires us to use our abilities to exercise our will, to exercise our desire. We pray for the strength to do it. We pray for the courage to do it. We pray for the will to resist, to walk away. Deny sin a place in our lives. It's a mindset. It's a mindset of, I'm going to do what is right. As simple as three decisions that we make in a week that we should never make. And sometimes, I know there's some that do this. But there's three times in a week we should not have to make a decision. We get up on Sunday morning and we have to decide whether we're going to go to church today or not. Or Sunday evening comes and we have to decide whether we're going to go to church. Or Wednesday. And it should not be a consideration. So it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is the day I'm going to be in church. Wednesday evening, the Lord has set aside to gather together and to sing and to pray and to testify. I'm going to be there. It's a mindset. And it carries over into other aspects of our life where we have to make choices that we shouldn't make. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up your cross. Take up the burden of living a life for Christ. And sometimes it is a burden. Sometimes it weighs heavily on us. Conforming our life to the pattern that Christ has set. Sometimes it's a willingness to carry a consequence of a past sin and carry that burden the rest of our life to take up our cross and to follow Christ. To be willing to suffer ridicule, rejection of the world because of what we believe. And again, it's a willingness to deny ourselves of worldly pleasure. And we're willing to do what is right simply because it's the right thing to do. Not because it's the easy thing. Not because it's what we want to do. It's to do what is right. Take up our burdens. Deny ourselves of all ungodliness. And to follow Christ. To fulfill our commitment that we made on the day of our baptism. I'm going to refresh our memories. Mosiah chapter 9. Page 259. Mosiah, the 9th chapter. I'm going to begin at the 39th verse. And now as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, are ye willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light? Yea, and are ye willing to mourn with those that mourn? Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses? Probably, maybe the most important part of this whole scripture, to stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death. That ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before Him that you have entered into a covenant with Him? We have made a covenant. Those of us who have entered in the waters of baptism have made a covenant to keep His commandments, to follow Him, to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross. That you will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you. We follow the Lord. We're fulfilling our commitment that we made with Him. We battle against sin. That's part of following the Lord. We battle against sin. We do what the Lord commands us and seek to follow His example. He gave us examples. He gave us what we can do. There's not a temptation that we face. There's not a question that we have. There's not a problem that confronts us that Christ has not given us the answer. Either by His example, through His parables, through His stories to His disciples, He has given us the means to overcome. The answers to all our questions, to all our problems. Everyday situations that we may come against sin, that we may come to that point where we have to choose what we have to do, we can always go to the Scriptures. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. When we live for self and sacrifice the things of the gospel for our own interests and our own pleasures, we could lose our souls. To lose our life is to give up self and follow the Lord. That's losing our life. We lose this life of ours and give it to the Lord. Because we are His. We're His possession. He owns us. The Lord owns, because He paid that ultimate price. He bought us with His blood. He purchased us. We are His. We're not our own. We are His. He can do with us as He pleases. But He's given us our own free will, our own agency that we can choose. He doesn't compel us to follow Him. He invites us. He gives us our own will, our own agency. We can do whatever we want within reason. But He did command us to keep His commandments. If we're going to follow Him, if we're going to serve Him, He has commanded us to keep His word, to do what He has told us to do. The choice to follow or not is ours. He's not going to compel us to accept Him, to follow Him, to give our lives to Him. But if we do, the commandment is that we do it 100%. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What benefit is it to us if we gain the whole world, if we fulfill every desire that we have, if we accomplish every worldly goal that we've set before us, and we lose our soul doing it. What have we gained? We've gained what we got in this world, and that's it. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange? If we exchange something, we give it up for something else. What will we give in exchange for our soul? Are we going to barter it away? Are we going to barter our soul away to the adversary? What are we willing to give in exchange for our soul? Are we willing to barter our soul to Satan? Are we willing to exchange our soul for the momentary pleasures of this life? Are we willing to give up our soul's eternal well-being for the pleasures of this world? Or are we willing to exchange the carnal person, that nature that possesses us? Are we willing to struggle all our lives to exchange that, to give it up for eternal life? What will we exchange for our soul? Whatever we may gain by living in sin in this life is not enough to make up for losing our soul. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are we ashamed of Christ? Are we embarrassed of Christ? Are we embarrassed to stand up for what we believe when we're in a situation that causes us to make a stand? Are we unwilling to serve the Lord? Or are we restrained? Are we restricted because of fear of being ashamed? Of being ridiculed? Of somebody disapproving of what we believe? Is the Lord going to be embarrassed with us at the judgment? Is he going to be ashamed of us? Is he going to be embarrassed when we present our life before him at the judgment? Is he going to be embarrassed? Is he going to say to us, "You said you followed me, and you're embarrassing. You're embarrassing to me. The things that you did and the things that you said bring embarrassment to me and my Father and our kingdom." Is he going to be ashamed of us? That was the song that we sang, the second song. Ashamed of Jesus? Our cry should be no, never. Will he be ashamed of us at judgment? Our hope and our cry should be no, no. Our battle is lifelong. I believe it was Brother Don McIndoe who said, "We are in a battle. We are in a battle for our very souls because the forces and the powers of Satan are arrayed against the Church of Christ, are arrayed against the people of the Church of Christ. He wants to destroy us. He wants to take us bit by bit and piece by piece and just tear us apart. Tear us apart. Our battle is against that." The consequence of a life of sin is that we could lose our soul. I'd like to remind us of an ancient brother who experienced losing his soul. It's in the Book of Alma in the 17th chapter. Page 434. I'm going to begin at the 6th verse. Alma chapter 17, verse 6. And behold, he spake unto us as if it were the voice of thunder, and the whole earth did tremble beneath our feet. And we all fell to the earth, for the fear of the Lord came upon us. But behold, the voice said unto me, Arise. And I arose and stood up, and beheld the angel. And he said unto me, If thou wilt of thyself be destroyed, seek no more to destroy the church of God. And it came to pass that I fell to the earth, and it was for the space of 3 days and 3 nights that I could not open my mouth, neither had I use of my limbs. And the angel spake more things unto me, which were heard by my brethren, but I did not hear them. For when I heard the words, If thou wilt be destroyed of thyself, seek no more to destroy the church of God, I was struck with such great fear and amazement, lest perhaps I should be destroyed, that I fell to the earth, and I did hear no more. But I was racked with eternal torment, for my soul was harrowed up to the greatest degree, and racked with all my sins. Yea, I did remember all my sins and iniquities, for which I was tormented with the pains of hell. And I saw that I had rebelled against my God, and that I had not kept his holy commandments. Yea, and I had murdered many of his children, or rather led them away unto destruction. Yea, and in fine, so great had been my iniquities that the very thoughts of coming into the presence of my God did rack my soul with inexpressible horror. Oh, thought I, that I could be banished and become extinct, both soul and body, that I might not be brought to stand in the presence of my God, to be judged of my deeds. For now, for 3 days and for 3 nights was I racked, even with the pains of a damned soul. Something to think about. I had an experience several years ago. In fact, it was 1999. Similar to what Alma had. And I didn't understand why I had this experience at the time until I related it in a sermon here. And one of my brothers came and he said, I was given that as a voice of warning to our people. A witness, so to speak, of the words of Alma. And I'm going to read you the experience I had, because it's important. It's important that we understand, if we barter our soul, the consequence of it. If we waste our life and our time in this world, the consequence of that life. I was allowed to experience the pains of hell, the overwhelming presence of Satan, and the total absence of God's Spirit. The mental, physical, and spiritual torment that I experienced, there are no words to describe how I felt. There was no words. I could not. I racked my brain to try to write down what I felt, and there was no words to describe it. The physical torment was the body in pain and felt like I was being consumed. Not a pain like a cut or a break, but a physical sensation that I have never felt and cannot describe. It was not like any pain or sensation I've ever had. Mentally, the torment was again such as cannot be described. The knowledge that all was lost and the complete hopelessness of my eternity. I was without hope. There was absolutely no hope. In this life, no matter how terrible it is, no matter how far we've fallen, no matter how much sin we have in our life, we always have hope. There's always hope. But in this experience, there was no hope. Absolutely complete hopelessness. My life was over. My time of probation was gone, and I was condemned. The anguish of knowing that there was no more hope, that I was completely cut off from the presence of the Lord and would never be free. Never. It was eternal. The spiritual sensation was the total absence of the Spirit of God and being completely surrounded by evil. All was anguish and despair, the torment. Torment will always, always be there. All I can say to describe this is the total despair, total hopelessness, total anguish of a damned soul. No fear. I had no fear. The fear was gone. And we have that fear in this life, don't we? We have the fear of perhaps we might not make it. Perhaps we will face the judgment of God. There was no more of that. Already past that. All that was there was the torment. Torment. Oh, how important it is, brothers and sisters, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Christ. That's all we ask. That's all we ask. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read 26 through 30. Luke 14, 26 through 40. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Strong words. That doesn't mean that we're to hate our parents. That doesn't mean that in the way we understand it, the more correct translation would be, if we don't love our parents less, if we don't love our brother and sister less than you love the Lord, if we don't love ourselves less than we love the Lord, then we cannot be His disciple. Cannot be His disciple. And whoso does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Perhaps that's something that we don't emphasize enough at baptism, is to ask the question, have you counted the cost of this commitment? Have you counted what it's going to require to endure to the end? Have you counted what it's going to require of you? Are you able to finish? Are you able to do this? Are you able to complete the task? We need to understand what that task is. We need to understand what is required of us. We need to understand the commitment that we have made. Have we counted the cost of service? If not, if we haven't up until this time, if we haven't counted the cost, if we haven't evaluated our lives, if we haven't decided whether we have enough or not to finish our course, it's time to evaluate. To evaluate ourselves. So see if we're that rich young man who has done all these things but was unwilling to give what the Lord asked him. Are we willing to give what the Lord asked us? Are we planning sufficiently to be able to serve the Lord? Have we examined ourselves to see if we are sufficiently righteous to serve? Have we looked deep within our hearts to see if we have that which may be offensive to God? If that lies within us. Or if we look deep within our hearts and see if we have that reserve, that resolve to give our life. It's time. It's time. Time to serve. It's time to be prepared to serve, to be ready for whatever the Lord may tell us. The gospel work has changed. It has changed in the last 6-7 years. which means that our local has changed. More people are gone for longer periods of time. And perhaps that will increase. In my prayers, I pray for the local. I pray for our young people like Bob did this morning. I pray for decisions that people are making. And it was impressed upon my heart that the face, perhaps the very face of this local over the next several years will change. Will change. And it's time. It's time for our young men and our young women to take up their cross. To be prepared. To seek the Lord's will. To seek the Lord's guidance. To seek the Lord's presence. To be willing to serve. To be willing to be used by God. In whatever way He sees fit. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but it's time to take up that cross. It's time to stand up and to be counted. It's time to take your place. It's time. The statement has been made several years ago. And it's a true statement. You know, the Church of Christ is one generation from extinction. If the next generation does not pick up the cross, does not become strong and to labor for the Lord, we'll cease to exist. Cease to exist. There always has to be somebody to take the place of those who pass on. Always. It's time. It's time. It's time to reach out. It's time to become more active. It's time to take your place. It's time to be less concerned with your own life. And time to be more concerned with those of your brothers and sisters, of other young people. It's time to be concerned what the Lord wants you to do. To prepare yourselves that when the Lord speaks, you will be ready. You know, our pastor Bob, Joel, his generation's not always going to be here. If the Lord delays His coming for 50 years, they're going to pass on. Somebody else is going to have to be the pastor and the assistant pastor in our local. Somebody else is going to have to take up the burden of that. Or we will not have a pastor. We'll not have an assistant pastor. So I urge the young men and women to pick up your crosses, to become active, to reach out to those that perhaps are weaker. Include those who struggle spiritually in your circle to be more active in your service. How does God want you to serve? You know, sometimes when we mention, well, the day of sacrifice is here, we automatically think of money. We got to dig deeper, which is true. We have to dig deeper. Bigger and bigger part of this world is depending on fewer and fewer people to support the work of the gospel. But it also means our time and our talents and our service to one another. To be aware. Is there a brother or a sister? Is there some young person that's struggling? They need to be reached out to. They need to be encouraged. They need to be included. Time to put away some of the worldly pleasures, some of the worldly things that we seek, and to focus on denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Christ. Of course, our service. Whatever that may be, must be with wisdom. Must be with prayer. must be with serious consideration of what God wants us to do. We can't run before Him. Let's not run before the Lord. But let's not walk behind Him. Let's follow the admonition in our Sunday school class and fast and pray, what does the Lord want me to do? What does He want me to do? It may be setting aside our own personal ambitions and desires. Or it may be, hey, He's going to reveal something to us that we never thought of before. Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. Easy to make that statement. This is in Luke chapter 9, I'm sorry. Luke the 9th chapter, in the 57th verse. It says, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. They were willing to do it. And Jesus said unto them, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. We need to be prepared to follow the Lord. We need to be willing to do what He asks us to do. We need to be willing to sacrifice. We need to be willing to give up. We need to be willing to labor. Count the cost. Let's not rest in a false sense of righteousness. Let's not make the mistake. Sometimes I think we make the mistake of thinking that just because we have God's blessings that we are sufficiently righteous before Him. I don't think that's necessarily true. Don't get me wrong. God loves His people. He favors His people. He blesses His people. He does. There's no question. I'm not saying that He doesn't. But sometimes we mistake blessings that we receive for our measure of righteousness before Him. And that may not be true. You know, God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. God has blessed this nation. The unrighteous have reaped the rewards of that blessing. Those outward blessings that we receive are only window dressing. You know, they are. The real blessings are a pure and a righteous heart. Pure mind, righteous mind. So God blesses us. You know, He blesses us. What He wants us to do is look. Look within ourselves to see the true stature of a righteous man or woman. To look within ourselves and to make ourselves righteous and then expect the blessings. Because we're going to receive those other ones anyway. But the true blessings of God are reserved for His righteous people. We are favored, there's no question about it, but not to be lifted up in pride, but we are favored. He does look with favor on His people. I'm going to close with a part. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read a portion of a revelation that was given December 1st, 1971. And it was delivered here in Phoenix. It was delivered to the people that were here 33 years ago. I wasn't here. Most of us were not here. But you know, today, 34 years later, these words ring of truth. Can we look at them and apply them to ourselves? As I read this morning, I had to point a finger at myself. I fell into a lot of the things that the Lord had spoken 33 years ago. I therefore write these words under command of the Spirit of our Heavenly Master. To you, my people, saith the Spirit, is this counsel given. My word and counsel to you in many ways in time past has not been received with concern of a contrite heart on occasions when I have seen need to give strong admonition because of your wandering from the path of righteousness into the ways of the world and often on my holy day. Have we done that? Have we wandered into the ways of the world, and have we done those things on God's holy day? You have not been deliberate in your strayings from the path. You haven't done it on purpose, but nevertheless have been careless and taken my word lightly, and thus have sought your own pleasures on my holy day. Many times my servants have winked at and closed their eyes to what, without teaching or speaking of the dangers of involvement in the worldly life, many of my people consider innocent enjoyments, yet are harmful to the soul. When vision is blurred, caused by personal desires for pleasure, one cannot foresee what the pleasure may lead to, innocent as it may have been in the beginning. Haven't we all fallen into that trap? Boy, this looks innocent. But once we get involved, what has it led us to do? But many of my servants have been faithful in delivering the word of counsel that I have given, to which many of my children ask, what meaneth these men? And what meaneth God of those things that are declared to be of the world? Will you not trust in mine admonitions and try the Spirit that declareth these things and wait upon thy heavenly Father, as he alone foreseeth what danger lies ahead, if continued by habitual desire, that time in your lives is spent in ways that should be rather spent in activities of endeavor that are a blessing to souls and others who seek my ways, who may be watching you in your works. Many may not remember, and some there be of your children and youthful ones who have not been taught my word, which declared that I do not find pleasure in seeing my people attending the theaters or engaging in activities such as consume time away from Christian endeavor, and consumes his goods to draw pleasure therefrom, and often spends his energy upon the things of the world to the end that he may satisfy his own pleasure, and heaps upon his family such as bring problems that need not have been known. Isn't that true? Yeah. Isn't that true? Not only the theater, but other activities, other things consume us. We spend our energy. We spend our time. We spend our money that bring us problems that need not have been known. I think we bore witness of that statement here in our local. The Spirit saith further that he who engages in these things or anything like unto them, let him know that to this extent he is in the world and the world claimeth him. And let him know further, let him know furthermore that from this hour, as never before, he stands in a place of danger, because in engaging himself in these things, or any of them, or goeth into places your heavenly Father would not go, places himself into an atmosphere where, unless he have extreme care, he shall more fully go into the world. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Let my saints heed this counsel. Do not judge to answer too quickly. And the like as you have been counseled from time to time, that the hour has come when he who would enter into the cause of Zion and into the immediate preparation necessary to be made on the part of the faithful must of necessity exercise a strong willpower to withdraw from the worldly atmosphere. If there be such among my people who are found in folly and whose families go on restrained, whose children are outside the counsel of God, and which, if the youth and children will not hear my voice nor yield to my persuasions, let such families know that their own folly has set their children at naught to the ways and a spiritually more pleasant life. Hear ye now, saith the Spirit. You are charged, and it shall require the utmost labor of every man, if would overcome, that he may enter in with his goods and talents and with his unified family unto the building up of my Zion. That if he is hindered by the things I caution against, I say by my Spirit that he cannot enter into or have part in Zion. He cannot escape, but shall become the more entangled and soon find his place where the Savior, the Son of God, will not come nor have part in. I accept those whose spirits are contrite, whose devotion is sincere, but rebuke cometh to the unworthy and such as procrastinate answering the plea of my spirit. Come now, all ye my children, and join your hearts and hands of labor, and the reward of entrance into my eternal kingdom will be assured, saith the Spirit of your heavenly Father. Try now the spirit under which this is declared unto you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kim. Let's remember the announcements for the day. We're going to close this morning with number 165. Number you bow with me in prayer. My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would once again come to Thee at the close of this service, we're truly grateful for Your goodness to us, grateful for the Scriptures You've given, for the ministry You've called, and I pray that You would be with us as we go about the rest of the day, that we might take these thoughts with us to ponder them in our hearts and apply them in our lives. Father, I pray that You would be with us as we be examples to those around about us. We are continually mindful, Lord, of the many needs among Thy people, physical and spiritual. And we pray for Your blessings, pray for Your Spirit and Your discernment to be upon us. I pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.